Praise the Lord. You know, I had a couple of people come up who don't speak in tongues and ask questions about it. And so, you know what I'd like to do for just a few minutes? I would like to ask if any of you do not speak in tongues, or if you've received the baptism and maybe have spoken in tongues a little bit, but you can't speak in tongues an hour at a time, you only have a word or two, we need to pray with you and get you to where you can speak in tongues. Amen. So is there anybody in here who would just say, that's me, I need either to receive this gift or I need to get free? If that's you, come right down here and we're going to pray with you. I tell you what, this will change your life. This is awesome. Well, man, there's a lot of you. I'm glad that we asked. Man, this is great that you came. All right. Why don't you move forward here? And we're going to get some of the students to come up behind you and lay hands on you, because the Bible says that through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit was given. So we're going to pray and agree with you. Let me just, I've got a book entitled New You / Holy Spirit. It describes what true salvation is and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I explain things in a lot more detail in this book. But real quickly, let me just give you one thing that really hindered me from speaking in tongues. And that was that I was waiting on the Holy Spirit to force me to speak in tongues. I just asked, and then I'd open my mouth and wait on God to make me talk. And that's not the way that it works. It's very similar to when I get up here and minister. I want God to speak through me. But if I just said, oh God, don't let it be me, you speak through me, and then I just opened up my mouth and waited on God to make me talk, you'd never hear a word. He doesn't force me to say what I'm saying. It's me talking. That's the reason it comes out in Texan. That's the reason it comes out in my personality. It's me talking, but it's not just me. It's me inspired by the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is like that. Acts 2:4 says, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. He inspires you. You have to talk. And my biggest problem was that I was waiting on the Holy Spirit to force me to speak in tongues. I wanted to make sure it was pure Holy Spirit. It's not pure Holy Spirit. When I preach, it's not pure Holy Spirit. I believe it's inspired by the Spirit, but there's some of me in it. There's you speaking in tongues. It says they spoke with tongues, not the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. So the number one thing that hindered me, I was just waiting on God to force me. And finally, I said, Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow them that believe. They will speak with new tongues. And I just said, I will speak in tongues. Put my finger on that verse and I started talking. And when I first spoke, I thought, this is just me making up words. But you know what? I got past it and I just kept speaking. And after a while, I found out it just flowed out of me. And I could have my mind totally on something else. And it was just flowing. It would change languages and on and on. But I had to start and overcome this fear of it being just me. It is you speaking, but it's not just you. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the reasons it's so powerful, is because it pushes you into faith. Because your mind doesn't know what you're saying, and your mind, it sounds stupid, and you have to push into faith and by faith say, no, these signs follow them that believe. So we're going to pray in tongues. We're going to lay hands on you and believe that God gives you this gift. It says in Luke 11:13, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? All you got to do is ask. And some people think, but I know I'm not holy. If you could get holy without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. If you got sin in your life, you're the very person that God wants to give the Holy Spirit so you can overcome that sin. So don't let any feeling of unworthiness stop you. He promised he would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. We are going to ask. We're going to lay hands on you. And then those of us that already pray in tongues, we're going to start praying in tongues. And you just quit praying in English and go to praying in tongues with us. Okay? And don't worry about what it sounds like. When a little baby first speaks, it doesn't sound like they're saying daddy, but that daddy knows what they're saying. And you know what? Your father hears your heart, and as you get over the newness of it, it'll just become awesome. Amen? Y'all ready? Father, we thank you for all of these. Thank you, Jesus, that we are born again, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we open up the doors of our temple. You created us to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, and we open up our hearts, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come into our life right now in Jesus' name. Father, we lay hands on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. You receive the Holy Spirit right now. Father, we loose this power into every one of their lives. Man, that's the anointing of Jesus right here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we agree and we receive this now. And Father, we thank you. We believe that according to your promise, we are now filled with your Holy Spirit, that you give us this ability to speak in tongues. So right now, we thank you and we start worshiping you in tongues. Those of you who know how to pray in tongues, let's pray right now and you just join in with us. I want you to lift your hands like when somebody sticks a gun in your back. That's your way of saying, I yield, I surrender. The Bible says when you lift up your hands, you bless the Lord. This blesses God. Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. You got to open your mouth to pray in tongues. Speak in the name of Jesus. Man, I believe that every one of these is speaking in tongues. They're speaking in something that sounds like tongues. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Just be bold. Talk right now. Thank you, Jesus. Man, when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. You're bypassing your brain where all of the problems are, and you're praying right out of your spirit. Just keep praying right now. The Bible says that when you pray in an unknown tongue, you edify yourself. You build yourself up spiritually. It's just like flipping a switch and turning on the Holy Spirit. Brandi capara simbolo coro tondo da kipero brochetta da via tarama. Hamri e oro stondo do paqueteni era mahaton cobre a peho co e shimba harotonga. And you don't have to speak monotone either. Just because you don't know what you're saying, you can put some expression behind it. Bura stingi baharande becambronto. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I believe every one of these speaking in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Did you speak in tongues? Amen. Did you speak in tongues? See, these are the two that came up and said that they weren't able to speak in tongues. Now they're speaking in tongues. Amen. That's awesome. And you know, whether you spoke in tongues or not, God gave you the Holy Spirit. It's just a matter of getting over your fears about it. And also, you need to recognize you don't have to be in a situation like this. You can speak in tongues by yourself. You can start and stop at any time you want. Some people say, well, you can just turn on and off the Holy Spirit. No, He's on all of the time. It's you that's on and off. And anytime you turn yourself on, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. So you can speak in tongues. You can start and stop it. This whole thing that somebody just says, well, I can't stop it. I'm just being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, 1 Corinthians 14. So you can start it and stop it at any time. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. All right, let's speak in tongues again. Talk. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise God. You can go back to your seats. Isn't that awesome? Man, that's going to change your life. I believe you're going to be stronger than horseradish after this. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, outside of Jesus being born again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing that you will ever receive. Man, you need the Holy Spirit, and you need to let the Holy Spirit control you. And one of the ways you do it is just to start speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues, as those scriptures say that we've already used, your spirit's praying, but your understanding is unfruitful. And this is one of the reasons that speaking in tongues is so important, is because it forces you to get out of your own understanding. It forces you to go beyond yourself. I can promise you that if you are a person who is used to just controlling everything and you've got to figure everything out, you will not speak in tongues over a long period of time. You might say one phrase, but for you to pray in tongues for an hour, it's impossible. If you are a person that's just used to doing everything out of your own ability, and it forces you to start saying, God, I don't understand what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on, but I'm standing on your word, and you just speak in tongues. And you start receiving spiritual benefit. Your spirit starts taking ascendancy instead of your mind. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, more than all of you put together. And that's no coincidence that this is the same guy that wrote half of the books of the New Testament. I tell you, it's important. Amen. Man, that's great. Amen. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and I want to share another thing with you about your born-again spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, these are old English words, and we, in the modern translations, it uses different terminology. But I really like the King James, and it makes you look up words to see what they mean. Did you know that temperance, for instance, is nearly universally translated? If you have the NIV or any of these, it'll say self-control. And it is self-control, but temperance, if you look it up, is self-control in food and drink. That's the reason that, you know, used to when they had the temperance movement, it was always against drunkenness and against booze and stuff like this. So to say it's self-control is true, but it is limited. It's not as deep. It's not as encompassing. This is talking about that one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do is to help you to be moderate, self-controlled in food and in drink. You know, if you're fat, you aren't drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can tell that this really blesses y'all. Did you know overweight is the Christian sin? Lots of Christians are overweight. I'm overweight. I'm not condemning anybody else who is, but I'm 30 pounds less overweight than I used to be. Amen. I'm dealing with it. And I just finished an around-the-world trip, which I gained about 10 pounds, and I'll get rid of it here quickly. It's hard to do it when you're traveling on a plane and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm not condemned, and I'm not condemning anybody else, but I'm saying, you know what? The Holy Spirit will give you self-control in what you eat and drink. The only way you get fat is to eat more food than you need, more often than you need it. That's it. Bottom line. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Some of you are thinking, oh no, I just look at food and gain weight. That's not true. I can't help it. Yes, you can. Since you were a little kid, nobody spoon feeds you. Everything you put in your body, you put it there. You cannot blame this on somebody else and say, well, it's my genes. It's not true. I can guarantee you, you quit eating, you'll lose weight. I can guarantee it. Absolute. Amen. Anyway, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Did you know that these are not nine different fruits of the Spirit, and some of us have one of them, and another one has two? Every born-again believer who has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have love, God's kind of love, not the world's love. Man, I could spend days, I have spent days ministering on the fruit of the Spirit, but, you know, love has been, it's been imitated and changed so that people talk about, you know, two homosexuals will say, but we just love each other. That's a lie. It's not God's kind of love. And I know that there's probably many people sitting right here, well, they do love each other. No, they don't. It's lust. Matter of fact, I went to bed, when was this? Sunday night. And we were watching this, Jamie was watching this NCIS Los Angeles, I think was the deal. And anyway, I didn't see the whole thing, but this one girl was going to die. She called her partner. They weren't married. They're just shacking up with each other. And he wanted her to leave because she could die. She stayed. She lived through it. She came back to see him. And instead of him running and hugging her and, oh, I'm so glad you survived. You know, instead, they wouldn't hardly talk to each other. He says, I can't do this. I can't do it. It's just, it's too much trauma to love you and see you. You know what? Boy, I got mad. I turned that thing off and I said, you know what? That's what the world calls love, but that isn't love at all. He was thinking about himself. This is too hard on me. He didn't even say, oh, I'm glad to see that you survived. I'm glad that you're back. No, this is too hard on me. I can't handle it. We need to break off our relationship or whatever. You old selfish thing. That's not God's kind of love. God's kind of love puts the other person ahead. If you're just shacking up with somebody, it's not God's kind of love. I had this lady that was in one of my Bible studies. She was a school teacher, and she had a 15-year-old student that they quote-unquote fell in love with. And anyway, when he got to be 17 or something like this, they were going to marry, and the parents and all of the friends hit the roof, and they brought them to me and talked to me. And I said, look, it's not God's kind of love. Oh, yeah, it's love. And you know what? Once you play the God card, and once you say, God told us, it's hard to sit there and say, don't do what God told you. So you need to use that sparingly when you say God did something. But anyway, they just kept saying, no, it's God, it's God. But so a week or so after this, I was out with them, and there was about a dozen of us all together, and we went to a Mexican food place in Clayton, New Mexico, and we walked in, and they hadn't told everybody what they were going to do, that they were going to get married. And so it was kind of a little bit secret. And so when we walked in and sat down, we just sat down, and people sat on both sides of this girl. And we looked around, and the boy wasn't there. And we said, where is so-and-so? And she went out, and he was in the car crying. because he couldn't sit next to her. They love each other so much. They just couldn't be apart. And so she had to ask everybody, would you move and let him sit next to me? We just love each other so much. Now I had something to say. I can say that is not God's kind of love. God's kind of love is not like that. Look over, man, I'm going to come back to this maybe. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 where it talks about God's kind of love. Verses 4 through 8 just gives you a definition of what God's kind of love. It uses the word charity, and charity is an old word, but it's really a good word because the word charity means not just love. You aren't just saying you love, but you are doing something about it. That's the reason we call organizations that do something and give away food and help people. We call them charities because it's love in action. This is talking about God's kind of love in action. So it says charity suffers long and is kind. Did you know if you have a short fuse, if you are easily angered, you do not have God's kind of love. And people will say, oh, we love each other, and you just fight like cat and dog. It's not God's kind of love. It's this world's love. It's all based on you, self. And as long as somebody treats me the way I want to be treated, it's fine. You know the way most people get married is they go and they look for Mr. Right, Mrs. Perfect. They go and pick the homecoming queen, the most beautiful one, and then they pick the homecoming, most valuable player, the guy that's got long, wavy hair and is a muscle-bound guy. And it's not love, it's lust. It's based on what you can get out of it. And, man, you want to walk down the street with someone on your arm that when people see her, they think, oh, isn't he lucky? And they envy you. And that's the reason you married him, is because they are an asset to you. But as you begin to age and you get to Dunlop disease, where your belly Dunlopped over your belt buckle, amen. Or you get the chest of drawers disease, where your chest is done dropped down into your drawers. All of a sudden you say, well, I just don't love them anymore. You never did love them. You just loved yourself. And it was like getting a soda or something, and you put a straw in it and you suck it until you hear the, and when it gets to the bottom, throw it away. And that's what people are calling love today. You never did love that person. I've had people before come to me and they have something like a woman came up, and there's a woman she was talking to me about whose husband is in a nursing home or something like this. And because he's in a nursing home and they can't have physical sex and stuff like that, she's invited another man into her home to live with her. And there's a lot of people that would justify that. That is unjustifiable. But what about my needs? Who cares about your needs? You know, when I was a kid, the guy that lived in the house behind us, he was a principal of a school, Mr. Morton, and his wife had a car wreck, and she was a quadriplegic the rest of her life, the whole time I knew her. And did you know Mr. Morton just loved that woman, stayed with that woman, waited on that woman? That's love, not, well, I got needs too, what about me? Pull your thumb out of your mouth and grow up, amen, and recognize that God's kind of love isn't about you getting your needs met. It's about you ministering to the other person. Marriage isn't 50-50, it's 100-100. You're supposed to give yourself 100% to them, for better or for worse. Amen. Man, I could preach on marriage for just a little bit. But see, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love, people say, oh, well, yeah, I got that. No. Most of us have been taught an inferior lust. It's all selfish. As long as this person is giving me the things that I need, well, then, man, I love you. But the moment they cease to be an asset, you'll turn on them, you'll divorce them, you'll walk away from them. That's not God's kind of love. Well, I don't feel love anymore. Love isn't a feeling. When Jesus hung on the cross, he did it because God so loved the world. And I guarantee you, he didn't have goosebumps going up and down his spine thinking about, oh, I just feel so much for these people. He was in pain. He made a choice. Love is a choice. Now, it can involve emotions, but emotions fluctuate. If you call your emotions love, I heard a song one time about somebody that they were so much in love that they just couldn't go to sleep. They couldn't close their eyes because they couldn't quit looking at their live-in boyfriend or whatever. And man, I just wanted to stick my finger down my throat and throw up. Like, give me a break. That's not love. Where you just fall in love and you fall out of love. That is a cheap world's imitation. And sad to say, most of us have been raised through television, through movies, through novels, through stuff. This is the impression of love that people have. It's not God's kind of love. But God's kind of love is a fruit of the Spirit. You can love people. I love people that don't love me. I love people that have done lots of damage to me. And I'm not saying it just in word only. I've sent tens of thousands of dollars to people who said I'm of the devil and they got in trouble and they needed help and I'll go help them and stuff like that. God's kind of love isn't dependent upon what you do. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God's kind of love loves even when it's not loved back. It loves even when people hate you. And if you say, but this person has done this to me, how can I love them? It just shows you that you don't understand God's kind of love. God's kind of love is a choice that you do. You can love anybody. You can pray in tongues and let the Holy Spirit begin to flow. And he is full of love, joy, peace. These are 9 things listed, but it's every one of us have all 9 of these. It didn't say the fruits, plural, the fruit, singular, is. It's like light can be broken into red and blue and violet and all of these other different colors, but that light has all of those things in it. Your spirit has within it love. Matter of fact, if you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me just go through a couple of these things. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. If you're jealous when your mate gets something, people give them a present and don't give you a present, and you're bothered by it, it's not God's kind of love. You're operating in a carnal, selfish love. You know, Jamie is a great example of this because, man, people are always thanking me and saying nice things to me and giving me things, and yet Jamie doesn't get much recognition at all, and yet she's not jealous. She doesn't care. I remember back during our poverty days, I was leading praise and worship in these 6 Bible studies a week, and I had an old guitar that was beat up. And you know what? My Bible studies went together and bought me a 12-string guitar. And that thing cost hundreds of dollars. This is back when we had zero money. And they gave me a really nice guitar and gave me a case for it and all of this stuff. But did you know, even though they bought it for it, we were so poor, we couldn't pay attention. We didn't have any money, and they didn't pay the tax on it. I didn't have the $20 to pay the tax on it. And I was supposed to pick up the guitar and go to the meeting that night and lead praise and worship with this guitar. And I didn't even have the money to pay. And it was embarrassing that we were so broke. Jamie had been saving for 6 months to buy a set of clothes. And she had about $20, just enough to pay the tax. And you know what? Jamie paid the tax on that and gave up her money that she'd been saving for me. And I told her, no, I said, we'll just wait until we get the money. And she wouldn't hear of it, and she never said a word about it, and she does not complain. It's a great example. There's a lot of you. I love you. You're awesome. You old carnal thing. You wouldn't do it. There's a lot of you that if somebody else got recognition and you didn't, man, you'd be jealous. That's not God's kind of love. God's kind of love envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. This is just old English for saying it's not self-centered. It isn't self-promoting. I couldn't tell you how many times as a pastor I had people come in and say, well, they did this and they did that. And I say, look, the Bible says you love your wife as Christ loved the church. He commended his love toward us and then while we were yet sinners. Well, I know, but they did this. It's not about you. And it doesn't matter what they do to you. That's not a justification for you acting wrong. But see, God's kind of love does not seek its own, does not behave itself unseemly. That's the reason I referred to this, is because that boy who was crying, because I just love her so much, I can't. That's unseemly. You can't control yourself. If what you feel is so passionate, I just can't control myself. It's lust. God's kind of love does not behave itself unseemly. It can be controlled. If you can't be controlled, it's not God's love. For you young people, if somebody, you know, is out dating and says, well, we need to have sex before we're married. Well, no, we shouldn't do that. Oh, but I just love you so much, I can't control myself. Write Ichabod over them right then. It is not God's love. It is lust. You need to run from that guy as fast as you can. God's kind of love will never behave itself unseemly. Is that too subtle? Anybody miss this? And yet the world will say, oh, but we just love each other so much. No, you lust each other so much. And I guarantee you that will not last. It goes on to say in verse 8, charity, God's kind of love, never fails. That lust will fail. Those of you who build a marriage on just physical attraction, I guarantee you things are going to change as you get older. And if it's built on physical attraction, that's the reason so many marriages are falling apart, because they never did love each other in the first place. It was all lust. It was all emotional. It was all based on these carnal things. Amen. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I couldn't tell you how many times I've done marriage counseling when I was pastoring churches, and they say, well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I just can't bear it anymore. I've lost all hope. All you've said is, I haven't used God's kind of love, because God's kind of love will bear all things. It'll hope all things. It will endure all things. It'll believe all things. God's kind of love never fails. Human love fails. And sad to say, most of us don't even know about God's kind of love. Anyway, I could preach on that for a long time. Back in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Did you know that you've got joy in your spirit 24 hours a day? I don't care what you feel like. If you are depressed, if you're discouraged, all you've done is identify the problem. Your spirit can't be depressed. It can't be discouraged. Your spirit is full of love, joy, peace, all of these things. So when you say, man, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm fearful, you have solved the problem. You aren't in the spirit, you're in the flesh. You are letting your carnal man operate. But in the spirit, you've got joy all of the time. Every time you've been sitting there crying and complaining and talking about how bad everything was, your born-again spirit's just basking in the presence of God and having love, joy, and peace. And some of you think, well, if it was, I'd know it. No, that which is spirit, and that which is flesh. The only way you can know what is going on in your spirit is not by feelings. You have to turn to the Word. Jesus said this in John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The only way you can know what the Spirit is doing is through the Word of God. It is spirit and it is life. What is your spirit like? It's full of love, joy, peace, all of these things. And it's that way all of the time. It never fluctuates. You know, I remember when I went to Pritchett, Colorado, we saw a man raised from the dead. These people had believed that anything to do with faith, Hagen, Copeland, any of the faith movement was of the devil. And they had actually burnt books, and it was all of the devil. But when I went there, we saw a guy raised from the dead. And even though they didn't agree with me doctrinally, they couldn't say much because of the results. So the majority of the people asked me to come pastor. And when I got there and started pastoring, man, they did not like what I was teaching. And I started having lots of things. They said that I was stealing money from the church, which I didn't even take a salary from the church. I got no money. But they accused me of stealing money. They accused me of committing sexual acts. They accused me of getting drunk. They accused me of doing dope. They were lying and just saying anything about me that they wanted to. And it was really bad. And we had been in Childress, Texas, and for the first time in my life, we were actually eating on a regular basis. It looked like we were going to live and not die in Childress. And I left this group of 50-something people in Childress to come to a group of 10 in Pritchett, Colorado. And, of course, the thing grew to 100 within just a few weeks. But the people began to criticize me, and I was just sitting here thinking about this isn't fair, and I was discouraged, and I was just waiting on Jamie and the boys to go to bed, and I was going to go down into the basement and have a pity party. I'd already sent out all my invitations. All of the demons in Baca County were gathering for me to just gripe and complain about this isn't fair and look what these people are doing. And anyway, while I was waiting on Jamie and the boys to go to bed, I just sat at the kitchen table and flopped my Bible open, and it came to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I thought the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And I knew that in my spirit I've got joy, and that if I was going to gripe and complain, that I was going to have to get out of the spirit and in the flesh. I was going to have to be carnal. And I knew what the Lord was saying to me, but I wanted to be carnal. I wanted to gripe. I thought I'll feel better if I gripe. I deserve to gripe. And I sat there and debated with the Lord. But you know what? I praise God. I decided, well, I don't care what I feel like. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, and peace. And so I went down into the basement. I just started praising God and thanking God. I didn't feel like it, but I did it because that's what the Word said I was. And I decided to start operating out of the Spirit and not out of my flesh. And it was only a few moments. It's like priming a pump. Sometimes you got to prime the pump. But once I primed it, man, all of a sudden the love and the joy and the peace and my spirit started dominating, and I got over it, and praise God, I didn't quit. But I'm telling you, I know that all of us at times have discouraging things happen, and you want to quit or you want to gripe or talk about how this person treated you. Your spirit is never going to do that. Your spirit is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness. Some of you, but I'm just a type A personality. It's just the way I'm made. No, you're just carnal. Your spirit is gentle. Your spirit is full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. You feel unbelief at times, but if you give into it, then you're just running up a white flag and surrendering and retreating to your carnal self, to your physical self. But in the Spirit, you always have faith. And you got temperance, the ability to control yourself in food and in drink. Meekness. It's always there. If that doesn't characterize you, it's because you aren't walking in the Spirit. This is not meant to condemn anybody, but it's to tell you that you're a new person in Christ. And in Christ, you are identical to Jesus. Your spirit is identical to Jesus. You've got the same everything in you that's in Jesus. If your actions, if your body, if people look at you and don't see Jesus, and instead they see a person with a short fuse, that you get angry easy, that you're sad and you mope and things like this, if you don't have peace, you're always disturbed about stuff, it's because you haven't tapped into who you are in Christ. This isn't meant to condemn you, but it's meant to encourage you that there is a new you on the inside. And some of you feel like, well, I'd be a hypocrite to act like I've got peace when the truth is I'm scared. It just depends on who you think is the real you. If you think that physical you that you've been used to and that you've grown up with and come to know so well, if you think that's the real you, then you would be hypocritical. But if you see yourself as a new person in Christ and that you are completely changed, then you're a hypocrite to operate in fear when the truth is in the Spirit you've got love, joy, and peace. You're a hypocrite to be angry and bitter when the truth is that you've got the supernatural God kind of love on the inside of you that allowed Jesus to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You've got that same love on the inside of you. You've got joy all of the time. Well, I don't feel it. That just shows you how seldom you're in the Spirit. Amen. Well, how do you get in the Spirit? You take what the Word says. This is Spirit, and it is truth, and you say, this is me. I am going to have joy. I am going to rejoice. And your mind will be saying, well, what have you got to rejoice about? And it'll point to physical, natural things. All you got to do is point to what the Word says. Well, man, for one thing, I'm born again. Amen. Man, that's awesome. Worst thing that could happen to me is I die and go to heaven, spend eternity with Jesus. That's the worst thing that could happen. Amen. And you start looking at things spiritually, and you've got a lot to rejoice about. Somebody will think, well, if I don't sit here and complain and gripe and get discouraged, things will never change. You are correct that they will not change with you griping and complaining. But when you get into faith, things will change. You aren't ignoring. I'm not ignoring things. When my body hurts, I don't ignore it, and I don't say my body doesn't hurt. But what I'll do is I'll just start saying, by His stripes, I'm healed. I'll start praying in tongues and releasing this. I'll start confessing the word. I'm not ignoring the natural realm. I'm just denying that it has the right to dominate and control me, because I'm a spirit being. And in my spirit, who I am in Christ is absolutely awesome. I can do anything that Jesus can do. I can overcome any feeling, any emotion. I can overcome anything. I am like Jesus is in my spirit. I'm full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I am full of that, and it's there all of the time. There is no dormant season on the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't just bear fruit one time out of the year. It bears fruit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. This is who I am, and it's who you are. Are you going to start acting like who you are in Christ, or are you going to let, well, our family's just always been this way. We just always are kind of bitter people. Well, then you just always have been carnal. You've been taught wrong. Change. Well, I don't know how to change. Get in the Word. Find out who you are in Christ and start doing this. Would to God that every one of us could get this convicted, that we're a brand new person. I don't care what you've been like in the past. And, well, this is just the way our family's all, we've just been, we're just blunt. We're just outspoken. We just do things. We just defend people. I'm a type A personality. I've had people tell me this. I've had Christians come and say, well, I've got a prophet motivation. And that allows you to be mean. That's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care how you justify it. You are a new person in Christ. And what's that person like? He's full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. If you aren't that way, it's because you aren't in the Spirit. When you let the Spirit control you, that's what will be manifest in your life. So if you're deficient in any of these areas, which I believe every one of us is to some degree, well, then you know what? We just need to go back to who we are in Christ. And we need to just say, Father, forgive me for being myself. Help me to be my new self. Help me to be operate out of who You made me to be. And this is who I am. Turn over there to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about love, what God's kind of love is like. And say, from now on, I'm suffering long and His kind. You know, this man that I mentioned in the earlier service, the guy who had had two doctor's degrees, and I went to his church for 20 years, and I was talking about how he was kind of upset about how I could receive things by revelation when he had to go to school and learn all of these things. Well, anyway, this same guy, he and his wife, he was Mr. Perfect in high school. He was the captain of the football team, the jock. He was just awesome. And his wife was the homecoming queen. His dad was the pastor of the First Baptist Church. She went to that church. They got married. But she had this unrealistic idea of what marriage was. She saw Prince Charming, and she would ride on his horse over the hill into the sunset. But they never showed what happened when you got over the hill. And when they got married, she just expected him to solve all of her problems. She had physical problems. She had a heart problem and other things. And she expected everything to be perfect when she married Mr. Perfect. It wasn't. And then she became resentful because her hope was in her husband, not in God. And he began to start growing. He had a 1,500-member church. And they had a parsonage that was next to the church, and she got so mean and angry that she would turn on rock music and dress in a mini skirt and stand out in front of the house and do the twist as people came to church just to embarrass her husband and do things like this. He would walk into the house and she would dump a whole pot of beans on his head, and they were just angry at each other and stuff. And the man just loved her, never responded bad, just loved her and kept walking in love through this whole thing. And anyway, she finally blew the whole deal. She went down in front of the church and she says, "All right, Mr. Man of God, if you're the great man of God, what about this verse?" And she put her finger on James 5:14. The prayer of faith, you know, anoint with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick. "I'm sick. Why don't you pray for me? Why don't you get me healed of my allergies and stuff?" And so the guy didn't know what to do. He says, "Has anybody got any oil?" He says, "If it's in the Bible, I'll do it." And so anyway, they went out and got a dipstick out of a car and brought some motor oil and put on her forehead and anointed her with oil. And she went and bought a gun, and she was going to kill herself. And she went out to a rifle range, and she was searching for her heartbeat. She wanted to make sure she shot herself in the heart so that she didn't, you know, suffer. And she was going to commit suicide. And as she was searching for her heartbeat, the Lord spoke to her, and he says, "Feel that? Your heart's healed." It was not an irregular beat anymore. And when they anointed her with oil, she got healed. So then she got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she got so happy, but she caused her husband to be voted out of the church because of the way she acted. So he lost everything. Now she was happy and walking in joy, and he had lost everything because of her. So now she had never served him. She would now serve him. She'd bring him coffee on a tray and give it to him, and he'd just take a drink and spit it in her face. And she'd go in the bathroom and scream. And then she'd come back and say, "Maybe you'd like tea." And anyway, they started trying to get their marriage back together. And you know what they used to do? Every time they would butt heads, they'd turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And they'd read it. "God's kind of love suffers long and is kind. God's kind of love envies not." And they would read, before they would have an argument, they would have to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And they got their marriage back together. And they were able to recover. But you know what? They had to quit operating out of the flesh, and they had to operate out of the Spirit. Every one of you can do that. When you see some of these carnal things coming up, just recognize that's not the Spirit in you. That's not the new born-again you. That is your old self, the way you were programmed by the old man. And you need to go back to the Word of God. And who are you, and what do you have? You have all the fruit of the Spirit. You can bear all things. You can hope all things. You can believe all things. You can endure all things. God's kind of love never fails. And most people just think, "Well, I've reached the end of myself. I just can't do it anymore." All you've done is come to the end of yourself. You hadn't come to the end of your born-again self. You need to start operating in who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. All right, you're dismissed.